Today's daf in Masechet Nida is daf Lamed Aleph, and we are holding at the Omar Rabbi Elazar. So yesterday we completed the discussion of the nature of pregnancy and vis-a-vis the embryo and in terms of the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yarchi Kedem. Today Rabbi Elazar comes to discuss various other issues, which has to do with the nature of the Vlad, its presence in the womb, and continuing issues of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazin at the time of the special period. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar, Lama Vlad Dome Bime'imo, what is a fetus like in the uterus? Le'egoz Munach B'sefer Shalmayim. It's like if you want to imagine the protection of the uterine liquid, that is the amniotic sac in which the Vlad is Munach, so it would be similar to a nut, which is Munach B'sefer Shalmayim, where if you press down, Adam Notenes Bo'alav, you press down on that, it goes. So what happens? It's shokeh alakan alakan. You can press it down, and it simply presses the water up around it. The Vlad is exactly the same thing. Wherever there's any pressure or any danger to the Vlad, it's always protected by that liquid, which is simply rearranged around it. Tana Rabbana, Shlosha Chodashim Arishonim Vlad Dar B'Mador HaTachton. In the early stages of pregnancy, the fetus is in the lower level of living. What precisely this refers to in the uterus, whether it's a physical, actual physical location, what part of the uterus it's referring to, it's not clear. I am tsa'im, the middle 3 months, the Vlad is darbe madora emtsa'i, lives in the middle living area of the uterus. And achronim Vlad darbe madora elyon, the child lives in the upper part of the uterus. V'kivan shigezman alatzeit, when it's time to leave the uterus, mitapech v'yotze, it has to flip over, get its head into position in the bottom, so it's basically upside down back in the madora tachton, and only then can it go. V'zeo chevleisha, this is part of what is so painful during the course of the later stages of pregnancy as the beginning comes to expelling the Vlad. Behind the Tanya, this is actually the reason, which doesn't make sense to us right now, but hopefully will in a few moments, that chevle nekeva amurubim mishal zachar, that a female fetus causes greater pain than a male fetus. V'yomar Rabbi Elazar Maikra, where do we see that the fetus changes its location in the uterus? It says, asher useti b'seter rukamti b'tachtiot aretz, what you did for me in the hidden time in which my flesh was just beginning to grow around me, and there I was in the depths of the earth. Doesn't say darti b'tachtiot aretz, I lived. It says rukamti. Rukamti means the time at which the uterus, at which the fetus is taking on flesh, which is at the very beginning of the Yetzirah. And that is the time in which tachtiot aretz, which I'm at the bottom. Yes, Gemara, but it wasn't clear at all from what you said why you were telling us that chevlei nekeva merubim mishal zachar. Where does that come from? That's because the answer is the Gemara zeba kederech tashmisho v'zeba kederech tashmisho, that a male, when he comes out of the mother, is actually, when he's mitapech face down, which is the natural way that the fetus would be mitapech to come out. And that is the way in which he generally, in the classic position of the male in intercourse, is on top. And that means that he's basically not flipping around in any unusual fashion. However, the female has to be hofechet paneha, she has to be, therefore, in her pit bakederach tashmisha, and that means that she has to be facing upwards in classic position of intercourse, which means that she has to flip her head around to be in the opposite position, and that causes more moving around in the uterus, which can cause more pain, and ze in hofech panav. The first 3 months of a pregnancy, tashmish is kashel isha. It's difficult, not a good thing for neither the woman nor for the fetus. The middle 3 months of pregnancy, the intercourse is kashel isha v'yafel vlad. It may be uncomfortable for the woman or unhealthy for the woman, but it's good for the fetus. And the achronim, the latter stage of pregnancy, the last 3 months, intercourse is yafala isha v'yafala vlad, shemitoch kach nimtza vlad belubanu mezuraz, from the continued intercourse of the stimulation, the hormonal stimulation that it provides, the child will develop in a way that is stronger and more overall healthy. Tana and the Bryce, it says, Amishamesh b'tatolim tishim, if exactly on the 90th day from conception, one has intercourse, it's kilo shofer damim, that particular day is dangerous, and it's as if you're spilling blood. Yes, the Gemara, that's crazy. How's a person supposed to know precisely the 90th day from intercourse, from conception? You know, yada. Elam Rabbi, obviously, it's not meant to be taken into consideration in terms of your overall hanhaga. It's basically, you do what you have to do. Mishamesh v'alech, a person goes and does whatever he wants without taking into consideration these things that he can't know. V'shomer p'taim Hashem, and God watches over the foolish, as all of us humans are. Tana Rabbanan, shlosha shutafim yesh ba'adam. There are three partners in the creation of a human being. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Aviv Imo. So from the father of Aviv Mazria Aloven comes a remez in the color of a semen to the things that the child develops as bones, bimeno atzamot, or tendons, gidim, tzipornayim, the brain, moach shebarosho, the loven shebaayin, and the eye, the body of the eye, which is white. The imum is mazrat odem, which is meramis to mimenu, or ubasar, usarot, v'shachor sheba'ayin. That is where we find the darker colors, and those organs that are more darkly colored. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does his thing, which is natein baruach neshama v'klaster apanim. He gives him the breath, the awareness, and the shine of a face that shows that life is there. Ri'yat ha'ayin, the ability for an eye to see and for an ear to hear, shmiat ha'ozen, the ability for a mouth to speak, and for feet to move and walk, v'iluch raglayim, and intelligence, and understanding, and intuition, bina v'askel. V'kivan shigia zman oli pater min ha'olam, when it's a human's time to leave this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notel chelko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply takes his own portion and leaves the rest in front of you. V'chelek aviv imo, miniach lifnehem, all of the things that were there, which are now useless. Omer of Pav, ainu damri inche, that's basically the way people put it. Putz milcha, take a piece of meat that was well salted and preserved, and now flip it to get rid of all of its salt. Ushtei bisra l'kalbi, you might as well then send the meat to the dogs, because it's the salt that allowed it to be preserved. And so too, the ruach ha-chayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, takes these things which would have no chance of continuing to live and gives them life. Darish Rav Chanina bar Papa, my diktiv osegir olot arin cheker, v'niflaot arin mispar. What exactly is the double lashon over here, gidolot, niflaot? What are we referring to? Look, let's take note once again that the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the world and connects to things is very different from the way a human being does. In Midat Basar Vadam, if he would put a chefetz in a chematz rura, he would put something into a closed leather bag. So then, even if the opening to that bag is facing upwards, away from gravity, pi'olamala, it isn't very clear that it's not going to ultimately work its way out of that bag. And safek mishtamer, safek in mishtamer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an embryo inside, inside a uterus, where it's basically open, and has to be maintained, the closure with a muscle. Upia lamata, and crazy, gravity is constantly pulling it down, and the opening is down. And nonetheless, mishtamer, and there an embryo grows and is watched over. Davar acher, another difference is that Adam noten chafetzav into a kaf muznai. If you put something onto a scale, the heavier it gets, the lower it goes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that way. Because here, as the vlad is growing and is heavier, he goes up to the higher mador of the rechem. Nor is Rabbi Yossi Aglin in my dechtiv odecha. What does it mean when we say, we thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Excuse me, alki noraot nifleti. Niflaima secha v'nafshi yoda'at ma'od. What exactly is Dov HaMelech referring to in Tehillim when he speaks of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these Noraot, which are incredible wonders. But Urei Shalok Midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam. Midat Basar Vadam, Adam Noten Zeronim Ba'aruga. Kol Achat V'Achat Olav Mino. The human being, if he plants different kinds of seeds, so each one of those seeds brings out only what it itself is, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. He is Tsar Ubar B'mei Isha. He connects completely different seeds, so to speak, the cells of a man and a woman. Kulam olim lemin echad. One particular fetus comes out of this instead of two separate genetic inheritances. Davar acher, another thing that's amazing, is that if you have a tzaba, you have a dye master who is creating various colors. So the way that he creates colors is he takes all kinds of different ingredients, puts them into a pot, a yoreh. So he's notein samanim le-yoreh, cooks them all up. And then they all integrate into one single color. They don't maintain their separate identities. So it's a kol olin le-tzeva echad, but ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way at all. Tzara ubar b'me'isha, kol achat ve'achat ola lemino. There he goes, puts together all these different parts that come into creating a fetus, and everything comes out its own unique information. Dorash Rav Yosef. Ma'idechtiv. What is the meaning of, if we're talking about Odecha, what is the meaning of the idea of Odecha Hashem, Gyanavta, Gyoshova Pacha Utanachameni? So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a nafta bi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at me, and I thank you for that. And when your anger turns away from me, you comfort me. What is it referring to exactly? B'mar katuv b'daber. Well, it's a marshal to b'shnei b'nei adam. Sheyatzu l'schora. Two people go out on a business trip. One of them is about to get on the plane, where all of a sudden nichmas kotz l'chad mihem. One of them is Yoshev Lakotz. He gets this terrible splinter, has to be taken to emergency treatment. Meanwhile, he misses his flight. There he is, cursing the terrible luck that he has. He's missing out on this very important business trip. And then he hears a week later that the plane crashed. He then hears that the other guy went down. All hands are lost. There he goes, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, thank God. That's right, this is the end of Pesach. Boy, am I happy you were angry at me and gave me that splinter. I am so happy at what happened. And because of what happened, you didn't punish me further. And that was sufficient to turn away your anger, and you were menachem me not to drown me or have me part of that plane crash. V'ayinu d'yomar Rabbi Elazar, may dechtiv oseh niflaot levado. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does these wonders on his own. And baruch shem kevado la'olam. That means that the world is mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the individual for whom the miracle happened was never even aware of the miracle, because the disaster was averted because of that miracle. He didn't even realize that he was so close. Afilu ba'al hanes eino makir b'nisa. The one to whom the miracle happened very often doesn't even know that he missed the flight. Dorish Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Ma'edichtev, what does it mean when we talk about Orchi v'riv'i? And here we find that David HaMelech is saying the Orchi v'riv'i, a lashon of Zeirita, which is a lashon of winnowing. V'chol dorachai hiskanta, and on all of my paths you basically protect. You know, what is that referring to? Orchi v'riv'i is referring to semen. That's rivi, as we saw with Bilam. And then you winnow my semen? What is that supposed to mean? It means, Bilam, shelo notzar adam min kol hatipa. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take everything in that semen to be used for creating a child, but rather the finest and clearest expression of the information that is carried, ben abarur sheba, that's what is used. And the part that is puzzle is the part that doesn't end up creating life. Tana devei Rabbi Yishmael, mashal adam shezore bebeit hakranot. That's why we use the word zarita. It's like a person who winnows on the threshing field. So what he does is, he takes the best part, and he leaves the useless part behind. Rabbi Abo. And actually, Rabbi Abo points out that this word of the Zerita actually is fascinating, because it occurs in the Tehillah, that has a complete parallel in actually Shmuel. And it's very few words that have any changes between the two, sometimes just a letter. And this word Vizirita is one of those letters. And Rabbi Avu pointed out, in David HaMelech's song, it says, Vatazreni Chayel. Vatazreni Chayel is in Shmuel. It's without an olive. So it doesn't mean Vatazreni, you girded me with strength. It means Vatazreni, which is this word, you winnowed me. You winnowed me for strength. Okay, I understand that. That means the selection of the best genes to make me. On the other hand, the same exact song, when it appears in Tehillim, has Ha'el Hama'azreni Chayel. And there it spells it with an olive. This is in Tehillim Yotchet. So how do you explain that? Is it that you gird me or that you winnow me? So Ha'el Hama'azreni Chayel seems to be a contradiction. Omar, therefore, he explains, Omar David of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was because of the fact, Ribono Shel Olam, Zeriteni, you actually winnowed the sperm that created me. Because of that, selecting my genes, you ended up girding me, Zerastani, making me stronger and more able to do what I need to do. Dorosh Rabbi Abo, my dichtiv mimana afar Yaakov, mispar rova Yisrael. Here to the word rova has to do with intercourse, with thrusts, with semen. So when Bilam HaRasha was talking about who counts the rova of Yisrael, it's a rather strange thing to say. And this, in fact, teaches us, Melamed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev, V'sofer et revi'iyotayim shel Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits there, counting the intercourse thrusts of Bnei Yisrael, waiting for one particular sperm cell. Matay tavo atipasha tzadik notzer haimenu. At what point will that cell, with its unique information, become available? And this is exactly why Bilam HaRasha was punished with blindness. Because what he said was, Mimana far Yaakov mispar rova Yisrael. You think that he said that approvingly? What he said, of course, we know that all the words of Bilam, he said himself very non-approvingly, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mahapich et l'teiva. But what he was referring to was very cynical. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares about the reproduction of Yisrael, and is truly waiting to achieve something in this world through tzedek and mishpat and tzaddikim, isn't it all ridiculous that the one who created the world should have to sit there sifting through sperm? It sounds crazy. So it was a cynical this statement by Bilam. And what he was saying, well, Mishu Kadosh V'Tahor, U'Meshartav Tarim U'Kadoshim, this is what he's got to be looking at. Waiting, he can't actually create a tzaddik if he wants to. Because that's the whole point of Bilam, that he thinks that these random events are meaningless and random and connect to Amalek in emptiness. Whereas, and that's the Vayikar, the Lashon HaKeri. To him, sperm is junk, basically, and you hope for the best. But to us, it's just the opposite, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds in the ability to life, to seek itself in the best possible way, that is the highest level of Kedusha. Not only is it not a contradiction, it's the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in the Olam. And because of that, Miyad Nismet Eino, Bilam immediately went blind. You see that because it says, Nu'uma Gever Shetuma Ayin. So this is the man who's got one eye open. That means only one eye. And the other one is basically shut. And therefore, it must be that he had been blinded. And we extrapolate that that must be the reason that he was blinded. Very strange pasuk. When it came to the moment for the conception of Yisachar, and we had the whole interaction between Leah and Rachel and buying Yaakov Avinu, so to speak. So it says, Vayishkav yima balayla hu, which doesn't make sense. If it's referring, who is referring to the night, it should say balayla hahu. It's very not grammatical. If it's referring to the one who had the intercourse, Vayishkav yima balayla, meaning Yaakov, well, obviously it's Yaakov. Who else are we talking about? So the only explanation of that word who has got to be the Melamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu siyeh abotu ma'aseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was there to see to it that he would be the one that made certain that this intercourse went right. And that's why it says, Shenema Yisachar Chamor Goren. It means, what in the world does Yisachar have to do with a Chamor? It means Chamor Goramla LeYisachar. The Chamor is the reason that Yisachar was conceived at that night, because really it wasn't Leah's night to sleep with him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that as Yaakov was coming back from his day's labor, that the Chamor brought him Bedafka to the tent of Leah, and since she came out, Mustavah, the halach is that that comes first, and that you're supposed to sleep with that woman. Because of that, that was the night that Yisachar was conceived. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar Rabbi Ami. If Isha Mazra Atchila, something we saw earlier, and I mentioned to you that there's some research that indicates that there's a difference in the pH of the vagina, and therefore in the survival of sperm, based on the moment that a woman climaxes. So that the vaginal secretions change if Isha Mazra Atchila, and in changing they make it more likely that a sperm that codes for a zachar will survive, and therefore you'll let it zachar. Whereas if the Ish is Mazri Atchila, the sperm for zachar is unlikely to be able to survive till the end of the trip of meeting the ovum, and therefore you let it nekiva. Shemar Isha Ki Tazria Bialda Zachar. But we always used to say that, but we never really knew what the makar was. That Isha Mazra Tchila Yoledet Zachar, Ish Mazri Tchila Yoledet Nekeva. But Lo Pishul Chachamim Bet Adavar, they never pointed out the pasuk that says that that's the fact. That's about Rabbi Yitzchak and Pirsho. Rabbi Yitzchak came with Mepharash, where the Chazal based this. It says, Ela B'nei Leia Asher Yalda LeYaakov V'Padan Aram. These are the sons of Leah that she gave birth to Yaakov in Padan Aram. And, oh, besides that, there was also his daughter, Dina. And that's very strange. The sons are Leah's, but it's his daughter, Dina. That means that Talah, the Pesuk is now being Tehillah, the Zecharim, and the Nekevot. So that the Bnei Leah are the males. And the Nekevot, the Zecharim, so Dina is Bito. And this teaches you, therefore, that it has something to do with the moment of intercourse. It says in the pasuk also, "Vayil b'nei ulam anashim gibor echayel dorche keshet umarbim bani uvnei banim." It's a little bit strange to call people archers, and they create lots of children and grandchildren. How in the world does somebody create children and grandchildren more than anybody else? And what is that supposed to mean? How is it in anybody's hands to actually create sons and grandsons? Ella, the point over here is that it's saying they were archers, meaning that they were able to control their bows, and their bows are references to their penises, which shoot sperm, which is called arrows, chitzim. So in being such great archers, they were able to mashina tzman bebeten, they could control their ejaculation, kadesh yazvi neshatem techila, in order that their wives should climax first. And that way, there was this greater chance of Yubanim Zicharim, since they used to do that, and they didn't search for satisfying their needs. So it's as if they actually, on their own, created male children. Finally, Rav Katina, this basically refers to the same thing that Rav Katina pointed out, that had I wanted to, Yochoni Lasot Kobanai Zecharim, I could have made all of my children male by just being more careful about when I ejaculated. Omar Rava, Harotze Lasot Kobanav Zecharim, if somebody has trouble in actually controlling his ejaculation, so if he would like to get a better chance of having males, what he should do is yivol v'yishaneh. He should have one ejaculation followed as rapidly as possible by another, giving his wife time to get excited and climax first, and perhaps the second ejaculate will be the source of the conception. V'yom Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer Rabbi Ami, eni shah mitaberet, ela samuch levista. A woman only becomes pregnant at a time that is around the time of her veset, of her dan. Shenemar hein ba'avon chulalti. It was close to the time of nidos that I was conceived. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, on the contrary, it's samuch litfilah. It's right near the time where she is first tovelet in order to become tahor. Shenemar uvechet yechemat imi. At the time of chet, of chitui, of tahara, that is where my mother conceived me. And where do we see that the lashon of chet is a lashon of becoming clean? My mashma d'haychet lishna d'dechuyehu d'chtiv v'chitei atabayit. V'chitei atabayit by tzarat batim, the targum is v'yidakeyat beita, to make the bayit cleansed from its tumah. Or v'yibayit eima, there's another obvious pasuk mi'alcha, t'chate'eni be'ezov v'etahar. So that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechatemi, it means that he makes me tahor. So you're to becheit yechamati imi, as my mother was being tovelet and becoming clean, that was very close to ovulation, worked out perfectly, and that's when I was conceived. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yami, kivan sheba zachar l'olam, ba shalom ba'olam. When a male comes into the world, then there's also peace in the world, because really, there's no way to ever get a woman who's mad to cool off. Whereas men, as in My Fair Lady, why can't a woman be more like a man? After all, and then we have the whole list of various things that would you really mind? And therefore, if a male is born, there's more of a chance for peace in the world. This is the Marsha's explanation, basically, really, on the circuit later. And that lotion of the Zachar is Shilchukar Lamoshel Eretz. So when you send a gift, because a lotion of a gift, you could send a gift to the Moshel Eretz, which usually is a sign that people are getting along. Rabbi Marsha points out that Moshel are the letters for Shalom. And actually, the word Zachar is Zekar. Here's a gift. When a Zachar comes to the world, he's basically carrying around his attaché case. And that's why Zachar is Zekar. This is a guy who's got his soda with him. Which means that by Elisha prepared a kira, a big suda. And this akira means a parnasa, basically. So when a male is born, usually it could be mefarnes. But when a nekeva comes to the world, usually somebody's got to be mefarneser. An eni maklum. And that's the word nekeva. Nekeva means nekiya ba'ash. Comes without any additional baggage. Ad yamra mizone, until she learns to require her mizonot, lo yavila. She doesn't get it, Minashmaim. Nakvas chachalai v'atina. That's what we see. You need to first nakva. You need to first define what it is that you mean. So nakva, nakva. And therefore, what it means is you need to be mevakesh from mizanot. Shalut al midav. Had Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's students asked him, "Mipnei ma'am rata rashi aledet mi via korban? What in the world is the reason someone who gives birth should have to bring a korban? Amar lehem, I'll tell you why. Mishasha korat lelet, when she's going through hell and bringing that baby out, she swears, I will never have sex again. Kofeset v'nishbat shelo tisakik lebaala. And therefore, since that's a shvua that she's not going to really keep, amrat Torah, tevi korban. Matkef l'Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, so then, why would she bring a korban? She's a mezida. Then if she ever sleeps with her husband again, so she's mezid. So the korban is only for a show gig. And it's not connected in any way to a korban. If you want to get rid of what she's done wrong, then you have to go into Bezdin and bring a charata and say, I'm sorry, I ever made this, and so on and so forth. But what does it have to do with a korban? The od, not to mention, I mean, over here, a korban yoledes is basically a chatasa of. And a korban shavua is for making a shvuah sheker like this, you bring a kispa or a seira boy atuye. And according to you, it doesn't make any sense. Another question that the Talmidim asked of Shem Bar Yochai: if the Imam Rat Torah zachar leshiva, that if she gives birth to a zachar, she's tahora in 7 days, and the keva, she's only tahora in 14 days. Larba asa. Answers Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai. Because the Zachar Shakos Mechim Bo, everybody's happy that they have a male because of the things that we mentioned earlier. Not to mention that there won't be any further pains of giving birth in the world. So over there, she's Mitcharetet Lishiva. She changes her mind about her Shavua, and she's ready to sleep with her husband again at that time. So therefore the Torah said, okay, since she only needs 7 days to recover, and then she brings her korban, and then she starts her Yemei Torah, and then she'll bring her korban. But after the Leilav Nekeva, where everybody is miserable about, because this is yet another painful stage in human development, in which she too will have to go through the same pains. So over there, she's only mitcharetet to the end of 14 days, and therefore the Torah was only matir to sleep with her husband at the end of 14 days. Another thing they asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, why did the Torah say that a brit milah is at 8 days of age? And he answered them, here everybody's coming along to the Suda of the brit milah, and they're singing, and the father and the mother are not able to be connected to each other, so they're very unhappy. So therefore, if on the seventh day of the Leda she can go to the mikvah, then on the eighth day they can be happy together in the Suda Tabrit. Tanya, your Rabbi Meir Omer, b'neimam ra Torah nida l'shiv'a. Why does the Torah asser a woman for 7 days every month? It seems a little crazy. But the truth is, b'pnei shiragil ba, because you start taking her for granted if you can sleep with her whenever you want. And in the end, like, people are disgusted with things that they could take for granted, have too much of you. The kutzpa. Therefore, amra Torah te'et me'yashiv'a yamim. The Torah said, you know what? You're not going to be able to sleep with her for 7 days. And that way you'll remember how important she is to you. To make every new opportunity to sleep with his wife after a period of nidot like the first time. Shalu Talmidav et Rabbi Dustai Rabbi Yonai. His Talmidim, Rabbi Dustai Rabbi Yonai's Talmidim asked him, why is it that men are always trying to find a wife and setting up dates and looking at the girls and trying to work it out, but a woman waits around basically until she's asked out? And the Ein Isha Mechazer at Alisha, and he explained that. Answered Rabbi Dustai Rabbi Yonai, Mashallah Adam Shavad Lo Avid. If somebody loses something, who do you think looks? Obviously, it's the one who lost it that looks for the Avedah, and not the Avedah that looks for the guy who lost it. So it's true about marriage as well. The woman was created for Adam, and therefore she's like an Avedah, in which he's lost his own piece, the missing piece, as Shel Silverstein put it. So in that missing piece, he's always searching. Whereas she doesn't have a missing piece. She can get along perfectly well without it. So, Mamela, you've got to find her. Why is it that in intercourse it's so common to find the male facing downwards and the woman facing upwards looking at the man? Answer Rabbi Dustai, because this moment is basically related to the original creation. This is a moment of conception. And therefore, Zemi Makom Shenivra, the male is looking down at the earth, because that's where he came from. The woman is looking up at the already existent male, Vizo Mimakom Shenivra, because that's where she came from. Remember, she's the next step in evolution. Mipnei Ma, another thing that they asked, why is it that a man, you can always explain yourself, he'll be Makabal Pius, say, okay, never mind, fine, I was angry, I'm sorry, you're right, it's not a big deal. But a woman who's angry, you try to calm her down. She's never Mikabelet Pius. And you think elephants have a memory, my God. So, how do you explain that? Answer of this story, Rabbi Yonai, look, a man is basically like the earth, you know? It's like soft, muddy. Yeah, okay, easy to change. Zemi Makom Shenivra. Whereas a woman was created already from bone, tough, you know? They're very tough. Vizu Mimakom Shenifreit. Another question that the Talmidim of Rabbi Dustai Rabbi Yonai asked their Rebbe, how come women have such beautiful voices and men have generally voices? Answered he, Zemi Makom Shenivra, look, you know, you try banging on the ground, see if you get a nice voice. You try blowing through a bone, get a beautiful voice, okay? So he is a voice like where he comes from, the earth. Whereas the woman, who is from bone, so there you can get sound. That's pretty. Zemikom Shenifreit. Shenamar ki kolech arev umar echlav. And indeed it says in the Pasuk that a woman's voice is beautiful אז כלל ישראל משתבחת אם כי כל איך הרב ומר איך נווה. Obviously we don't really need a raya to that fact, but says the Marsha, it's a beautiful way to end the perek, which we've just done. Hadron alach amapelet chaticha v'li nedar.